Welcome inside the garage for another edition of the EG3 show. My name is Eddie Greer III, host of the EG3 show podcast. We're all about the world of NASCAR, folks, the Macho Energy NASCAR Cup Series, Xfinity Series are in action this weekend, while the Camping World Truck Series is off for an entire month. We are getting set for Texas, and you probably already guessed that this is the preview edition of the EG3 show, Texas style. We get set on the eve of the Xfinity Series here in a few hours as they'll take the track to begin their race here very shortly. And of course, tomorrow you got the Cup Series in action as well, coming off a Clint Bowyer shining moment 2 weeks ago at Martinsville. We'll see who's going to win that race tomorrow afternoon at the Lone Star State. But this is the preview edition here, bringing you guys this afternoon Texas and getting set for that as well. Some news here real fast here, getting into the preview show. Of course, early this week on Monday, it was announced that for fantasy players of all ages, of course, fantasy, you do it. If you do it, if you take part in that, NASCAR Fantasy, NASCAR on NBC is letting us now compete with the commentators for NASCAR on NBC, like Rick Allen, Jeff Burton, Dale Jarrett, Steve LaTarte, Dale Earnhardt Jr., all across the board, everyone pretty much, Parker Clarmans of the world. We're going to have a chance to play against these guys. Now, there's a space limit for this fantasy group, NASCAR on NBC, who does the second half of the races, including the NASCAR playoffs and the championship race. There's 4,000 contestants that are going to be all that they're going to take, but you can also participate by sending your picks. If you haven't done that already, stage winners and such, and hashtag it, which I'm probably going to do this weekend at some point, probably tonight, most likely. I'm going to be sending mine in, hashtag, and I, for some reason, forgot the hashtag, but you can go on there to NASCAR.com to learn more about this NASCAR fantasy, and you have a chance to compete and possibly beat one of the regulars on NASCAR America, which is on NBC each and every weekday from Monday through Friday, I believe. You can check times on the NBC webpage. But yeah, you're going to have a chance to compete against the big dogs. So that's going to be a lot of fun starting this weekend, actually. And I believe it's a 10-week, I believe, group as well. So you have 10 weeks to try to beat one of these experts at their own game. That's kind of interesting stuff. So I haven't sent mine in yet, obviously. I will do that later on tonight, and I'll have my stuff. I had Clint Bowyer on there 2 weeks ago, and I believe I did not have Martin Truex Jr. in my lineup for California, but I did have Kyle Busch in there as well. And speaking of which, I have not used much of Truex or Ryan Blaney yet this year. I have my plan, or I might as well just split it out to you now. If you have already used Truex, you only get to use these drivers 10 times out of the 26 race season. So what my plan is, I know there's a stretch in there coming up very soon that he does well at. So I'm not going to, that's all I'm going to give you on that. So I'm not going to tell you anything else. But yes, for all my Truex Nation who listen to the podcast, yeah, if it might come as a shocker, I have not use Truex yet this year. And I was kind of waiting to see what happens, coming off an 8-win season with him, and the stats look better than last year. So I might use him tomorrow for this race right here. We'll see. I'm more hesitant, but again, I haven't used Blaney. I haven't used another driver either, but trying to pace it, trying to mix it up a little bit, trying to throw in all the manufacturers into my lineup instead of just hogging up one manufacturer, like probably some of these guys are doing. I don't know what their strategy is, but I'm not going to spill anymore. That's what I'm going to stick with. So, with him and a couple others. But yes, you have to try to manage those guys, especially everyone wants to ride on Harvick and all that other stuff, and rightfully so. But there's other drivers you can use for specific racetracks. Probably, example for a Talladega, you can probably use more of a wild card lineup, if you will, because you're not going to see the favorites up there. But hey, Talladega, we could see the same thing like we saw at Daytona earlier this year, and really the last 2 years where we've seen Ford up there, the strongest of the manufacturers. And Ford, speaking of which, a perfect transition with Ford. Ford has been a talk of the NASCAR world here so far after just about one quarter of the season gone by, and they have won 4 out of the 6 races this year. Harvick has been the talk, and again, Kevin Harvick, right in the middle of the discussion, again, earlier this week, a stat that I stumbled on him earlier this week as well. If Harvick were to win this weekend, he would win 4 of the 7 races. He would have likely to join greats Richard Petty and Bill Elliott to win 4 out of the first 7, 8 races of their season. Richard Petty did this back in 1975, while Bill Elliott did this back in 1992. So already everyone wants to throw in Kevin Harvick, for instance, in it. But again, we're going to a place that's reconfigured a little bit in Texas. Debuted last year with the entire repaving of the track. And of course, what we saw a couple times last year, the dreaded tire dragon out again for this weekend, trying to work that second groove in the racetrack. And to me, the Texas, it was your normal high bank racetrack. For those of you who have not seen a race there at Texas or haven't seen one on TV, it was recently banked, and it was paved when it first started, actually. Very one groove racetrack and such forth. The only pass you could do was on the bottom of the racetrack. That you couldn't go nowhere. But we saw age and we saw great racing. You saw 3 different levels of passing. You can pass in the middle. Obviously, the preferred groove, the low track. This is not Atlanta, like people are trying to say. And then you have your high side. But now, last year was the debut of this progressive banking that we see so accustomed of for Homestead. And at least at this time last year, we saw a lot of passing on the bottom. And that was the only play you got. If you got loose, then you're going to go backwards. So pretty much you got to unload with a fast race car. Not only that, one that's going to stick right on the bottom. We saw that last year, not only with Blaney, but we saw a fast pole qualifying lap with Kurt Busch, the fastest qualifying lap put down at a mile and a half racetrack in some time. So again, we're going to be paying attention to those speeds. But also, speaking of fantasy, keep your eyes out for the 10 lap average to see who is going to be good for tomorrow's or this weekend's showdown at Lone Star State. And again, last year, Jimmy Johnson, he was one of those cars that started in the back of the field and worked his way to win that race over Joey Logano and Kyle Larson, who finished run-up last year. But turning our attention, flipping it back to the Xfinity Series, you listen to the EG3 show with yours truly, Eddie Greer III, getting you cranked up for Texas. Xfinity hitting the track here shortly. You can catch that on Race Today on Fox. And course driver, looking at cup drivers here real quick, trying to look here. Now, unless I haven't seen any yet, and the only cup driver I see on this list is Jamie McMurray. He's going to be piloting the 42 car here this afternoon. And of course, there's that name again. Kevin Harvick will be in the number 98 here this afternoon. So again, these Xfinity Series regulars are going to have their hands full with Kevin Harvick. And also, you might as well go ahead and throw Ryan Blaney in the mix. And a lot of guys, and even me included, suspect that Ryan Blaney is going to be a factor here this weekend, including the Cup race, the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 tomorrow. He is going to be a factor. He started on the pole last year and led a ton of laps, 148 to be exact, and did not actually check that he did not start on the pole. Kevin Harvick did. Blaney started front row. Blaney led a lot of laps, was fast that weekend, made a kind of a silly mistake while his team kind of put him behind the eight ball, and he ended up finishing with that fast race car 12th. So disappointing 12th for him. And that came with the Wood Brothers last year in a 21 car. This year, he's in a much more different situation and thriving with Penske Racing this year. And he might have a chance to put that thing, the 12 car, in victory lane. But he's doing double duty this weekend along with McMurray and Kevin Harvick. So those guys are going to get some valuable track time still with the new surface. And to me, the surface reminds me a lot of Kentucky, because if you don't have a good handling race car, then you're going to have a long weekend ahead of you at Texas. So especially if they can't get that staying groove worked out. But we saw it a little bit better in the fall race. That race, again, the common denominator of this episode, again, falls back to Harvick. And this basically set up the pass that set him up to have a great start to this year, where they're working on their stuff throughout the year. And Kevin Harvick was ultra competitive in last year's postseason, made it all the way to the championship four, obviously did not win it. But the turning point for this team, and everybody keeps talking about it, including myself included, was when he passed the 78 of Martin Truex with less than 10 to go, and pulled away from, checked out from Truex to win the race and put himself into the final four. And ever since then, Team Stuart Haas Racing has been on jump on everyone else. And to me right now, they're like the Hendrick Motorsports right now of NASCAR. And I would not surprise that same success this weekend going forth. So again, the situation, you have Harvick and Bowyer now locked solid to the playoffs in this fall, and you wonder who's going to be next. Kurt Busch won the pole the last time we were at Texas, but again, we all got to keep our eyes on the other car. That in the person, Eric Almirola, off to a tremendous start here this year already, and keep your eyes out on him as well. But you got to go back to last year again, kind of moving back and forth here on this preview edition of the EG3 show with yours truly, Eddie Grid III, here with you guys this morning, getting set for Texas weekend down in Fort Worth. The action begins on Fox. And I believe Fox has the weekend races, yep, with the Xfinity later this afternoon at 2 Central here in the states of Kansas, Texas, and Oklahoma. 3 Eastern time, you guys listening out there, and Pacific time, you can figure that out. For those of you who've been listening to the show, shout out to you guys real quick. Thank you for listening to the show. You're on the list this week, so quick shout out for you guys there. So, but yes, Jimmy Johnson started from the back of the field and worked his way at Magic again to win the race. And Jimmy Johnson, oh, by the way, has obviously the most races won on this track, wherever you want to put it. Jimmy Johnson winning 8 times, I believe. I'm going to check my math here real quick. But yes, Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Larson, Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, Dale Earnhardt Jr., your top 5 last year. And of course, the rest of your top 10 included Brad Keselowski, Jamie McMurray, who desperately in need of a run, big run like that here this weekend, Martin Truex Jr., Chase Elliott, and there's Kurt Busch there in 10th, followed by his teammate Clint Bowyer. So when you look at it here, let's count them. He won the fall race, the spring race last year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's actually won it 7. Actually won it 7 time winner. I was off by too far by 1.1 win, but that's all right. 7 wins for 7 time Jimmy Johnson on this racetrack. And again, questions circulate. How is Hendrick team going to do this weekend? Of course, the 48 and the 9 on my rundown list here tonight. Chase Elliott who's had feast or famine luck this year. Everybody's still waiting, tapping their foot and waiting on when he's going to get that first win, when he's going to get it. Again, we're all going to have to stay tuned for that. Jimmy Johnson's well-documented struggles, having to break in, hit new teammates, young teammates at that, with Alex Bowman and William Byron, and then having to focus on his own success. Is that too much to handle for a 7-time champion? I don't know. But all I know is he has struggled, and you can't, everybody's saying, well, he's going to turn it on us. He's going to be better. He's going to be good. But where has he? I haven't seen it. I have not seen this at all from Jimmy Johnson whatsoever. So again, we can keep saying he's getting better. He's getting better. We have a long season. This and that. This has carried over from his win after his win at Bristol last year. He fell off the rock and has struggled to find a grip. Now again, it could be introduced, and again, he was also introduced into the new nose that Chevrolet put out this year. So you have all those factors. Nobody's not even saying that. You got to deal with the Camaros. You got to break in new teammates. You got to try to figure out how to drive a race car again. All these things you're trying to figure out. So is that too much to handle? That's a plate stacked full of pancakes right there. So right now, Jimmy Johnson, this 9 of Chase Elliott, Chase has been the best Hendrick until 2 weeks ago, where Alex Bowman found a way to get around the paperclip at Martinsville, and he was the highest finishing Hendrick car at Martinsville at 7th, if I'm not mistaken. So Alex Bowman turning a good performance there at Martinsville, and William Byron with a top 15 finish there, I think. I might be wrong there. But again, it's been 2 weeks. So again, that's another thing to keep your eyes on, is that of Jimmy Johnson and his Chase Elliott, because they're going to have the odds stacked against them this weekend. But again, we'll pay attention to the practice states, and again, qualifying for all that other stuff, to see where they end up at here at the end of the weekend, especially with Jimmy Johnson up there trying to get himself turned around. So we'll see what happens there. Again, the Xfinity Series race going to go down here in a few hours here this afternoon. And a couple of guys to keep your eyes on, the regulars, is, again, Christopher Bell. He's been kind of hitting the bad luck streak here. One race, he's good. Next, he hits a bad luck streak. Keep your eyes on that 20. He's going to have his hands full. And I'm going to throw in Daniel Hemric in the 21 for RCR. He's been strong this year. And why not throw in a Junior Moore sports car? Why not? Keep your eyes on. God, I'm going to say not Elliott Sadler. I'm going to put my eyes on Justin Allgaier in that 7 for Junior Moore Sports. He's up there in the points this year, as the last several years, really, and he's off to a solid start in the Xfinity Series once again. All right, ladies and gentlemen, time to take our intermission break here on the preview show, EG3 show. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to have some numbers to study as well, and I'll give you my 3 drivers to keep your eyes on the Cup side, along with the final 4, 2 opposite ends of the tournament. EG3 show is back here after this timeout. EG3 show rolls along here on this Texas preview edition of the EG3 show podcast. Eddie Greer III here with you guys this morning, bring you another preview edition of the podcast, getting you set for Texas, the fast mile and a half, the new look repaved surface that would happen last year, and we'll see in year two what racing has in store for us this weekend here, beginning in a few hours with the Xfinity series. But yes, Xfinity series on Fox with coverage starting there at 2 Central, and then tomorrow the main event, 1 o'clock Central Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, for the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 Xfinity Series later on this afternoon. So there is that as well. Some numbers here as I was studying here, getting ready for the preview show here this week. Looks, we talked about the fantasy earlier. If you missed it, NBC, the NBC crew, NASCAR NBC crew, is doing a fantasy league. If you haven't joined there already, it might be a little too late. It's Saturday. It was posted on Monday on NASCAR.com. They're hosting allowing only 4,000 players to compete with the NBC crew over there. But we can also still participate on Twitter as well with the hashtag as well. You can check that out with more details on NASCAR.com and on the NBC Sports page of NASCAR. So definitely check that out as well. Okay, some numbers here from focusing on the fantasy aspect here this week. A little bit of different twist on the preview show here. The average running position here, going back to 2005, these five drivers include, again, these two that I just talked about before the intermission, Chase Elliott and Jimmy Johnson. Average running position of 9th and 10th, respectively, for these two cats. This is going to be a measuring stick here. If the West Coast swing was a definite measuring stick, coming off the off break will be the ultimate test here to see what these two drivers do. And then you have the man has finished in the top three the last three races, including back-to-back runner-ups. That's the person in Kyle Busch, who could easily have a win under his belt by now. But like he said in his own words, he gets beat by a car that's been better. Kyle Busch, Martin Truex, and Kevin Harvick between them. An average finish of running position, is 11th to 12th on that list. And the average starting position, you keep your eyes on this number here this weekend, is 8.1. The average starting position from the last 10 winners of this Texas race has been 8th. So, obviously, we talk about it each and every week. Qualifying is a must for top 10. It is a must, especially a repaved surface like Texas. You got to have a good qualifying spot, good pit selection, and then you got to have good pit stops as well. So all that goes in together could turn out to be a winning recipe. So keep that in mind here as we move through the weekend, especially in the Cup Series. But when you look back again at the stage points earned last year, Ryan Blaney on top stat list by one over the hottest man of the circuit so far, Kevin Harvick, with 31. Both these guys, Blaney and Harvick, having good starts to the season. Kyle Larson, Martin Truex, and then Jamie McMurray tops the list also with 16 stage points. And again, stage points play key each and every week. Blaney tops that list right there. And then, of course, you add the fact that where the stage winners start from the race, again, from last year, and then second twice, once from third place, and then the other was 11th, so one outside the top 10. And then points earned, top 5 points earned at Texas back last year, and booked the Kevin Harvick show continues with 104 83. Then you have Truex in 90. Blaney, 87. And Blaney's on a list, my list, to keep an eye on in the Cup Series. So Ryan Blaney is strong in that 12. Last year he did this. Again, I mentioned this early on in the podcast today that he was a factor for Wood Brothers last year. Started on the front row, led all those laps to only finish 12th. Kurt Busch and Chase Elliott in that mix with 69 top 5 points. So I definitely find this intriguing. I definitely got to do this a little bit more often each and every week, which I'm going to start doing, by the way. And then, of course, laps led last year. That in the person of not Kevin Harvick, but the guy who he took the lead from late in this race. That in the person of Truex MTJ, who led a total of 156 laps, followed by Blaney with his one race outcoming party of 148. Harvick, 115. Kyle Larson, 74. And then the ever so quiet Denny Hamlin at 65. And why he ain't getting the love? Because Stuart Haas Racing still in the show right now. And of course, Harvick. We've talked about this really for the last month and a half on the podcast and throughout podcast everywhere. Kevin Harvick has been the man. And speaking of which, you know, going back to 78 real quick, the defending champ, Truex. Last year, you know, seeing him finally capture Kansas, that was huge. Feather in his cap due to missed situations, whether it's bad pit calls and so forth. See him finally in person, if I'm mad at, of course, if you've been a dedicated listener to the EG3 podcast, you've heard me say this. He won Kansas last year, finally putting that to bed. And the next one, mile and a half, he hasn't conquered yet. He's been awfully close to Texas. He's going to have to get through, obviously, the four of Harvick, Blaney, Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson. Throw those guys in there in the mix as well. And then you might as well throw in that Stuart Haas Brigade in there also. So, but if he comes out like he game busts like he has done over the past 2.5 years or so, he's going to be right there in the mix. He and Cole Pern know how to get it done. Could not finish the deal last year, but they're already going to be locked into the championship for lack. But I was definitely hoping to see him finally get that elusive Texas win. It did not happen due to a hard charging. Again, say everybody with me, Kevin Harvick. Yes, again, he's right there in the show once again. So all these numbers calculate to, again, my eyes to watch this weekend. Again, goes back to Ryan Blaney in the 12. And I'm going to actually exclude Harvick and Truex for a moment here. Ryan Blaney, those guys are going to have to be on point this weekend. And I think they will be. The other car, other two cars I'll keep my eyes on, the three cars, Blaney's one of them. The other, I'm going to go with a Ford on this. That's two Fords in Eric Almirola. That 10 car has been performing to its potential this year, thanks to a much more motivated driver in Almirola. I think he's going to have something for him. And the other driver in the mix, I mentioned him, is Denny Hamlin, outside of Kyle Busch. I mean, we know what Kyle Busch can do. We know the struggles of not closing the deal with Kyle Busch, but how about Denny Hamlin getting kicked to the back burner, literally to the back seat? You know, nobody said anything about the 11 car, but he was in the mix last year before other situation with, of course, the whole Chase Elliott episode, but he had his... He was worried about other things. So I'll probably keep my eye on this hidden Toyota of Denny Hamlin this weekend. That's my eyes. Three drivers to watch in the Cup Series: Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, and Eric Almirola. So I have two Fords and a Toyota. I have no Chevy Camaros in there, at least for this week. So there is that. Listen to the EG3 show. Thank you for tuning in. With yours truly, Eddie Greer III. Just a few more minutes on today's preview podcast before we focus in on Texas weekend. The Final Four. Want to end with this morning. The Final Four, the women's Final Four. My. that was something else. As I mentioned on a podcast a few episodes ago, mainly last weekend. I did not see the semifinals, but those were some fantastic, furious finishes. And then the championship game that I had to see, that I got to see on Easter. And oh, I might butcher her last name, but Obokwambe, that lady was on top of it. They had something, some saying Kobe or something like that, saying Kobe, whatever, that they're making fun of Kobe or something, that hadn't had the jeans or whatnot to make a shot. Well, she not only did it once, the UConn, but she had to do it again near the buzzer, an international championship game against Mississippi State. Mississippi State had this game dead to rights, up by 5 late, and somehow give this one away. They were that close to winning their first ever national championship in any sport in school program history. And Obokwambe, again, I might butcher her name, sorry for those Notre Dame fans out there. I'm sorry for doing that. But she just throws up pretty much a well-defended shot, throws it up, and it goes in to win the national championship game. All three of those games went down to the wire, and all three games were fantastic. And on the other side of the scale, the men's, man, they were not so fantastic. KU got blown out of the water by Villanova, and then Michigan. At Michigan and Loyola Chicago, that was actually an entertaining game. But the national championship game, obviously, Villanova knocked off Michigan in the title game there. But Villanova, that team has won the national championship now 2 times out of the last 3. Dominating performance from those guys. And those games weren't quite as entertaining as the women's games. So that was the most interesting part of the weekend there. Seeing the definite contrast of those games. I mean, going down to the finish. But the first game, though, of the men's with the Ramblers there trying to get to the title game. And they were up a lot in this game. But Michigan turned on the burners in the second half to win that game. So definitely different contrast, folks, if you did watch the Final Fours. But the women's were can't-miss excitement. And I have my post-reaction podcast. That's the next time you hear. I'll talk more about the announcers for the women. Though I really enjoyed their commentary and their reactions. I'll get dive into more on that. I'll save that for the post-reaction podcast coming out of Texas, folks, for that. So I wanted to share that with you guys this morning before I head out here on the EG3 show. But again, before I do that, EG3 show again, facebook.com/EG3 show. And again, feel free, again, if you're a well-dedicated listener of this podcast, please tell your friends about the EG3 show. That would be greatly appreciated. Please spread the word. EG3 show, Audio Boom, Spotify, Google Play, and of course, we're on iTunes as well. If you're a listener of iTunes, please subscribe to the podcast, rate and review us, and feel free to leave a question on there as well. iTunes, folks, subscribe, rate, review, leave us a comment or question, and maybe in a future episode of the EG3 podcast, I might be able to answer one of your questions could land on the show. And again, what is my mantra for the EG3 show? Again, ladies and gentlemen, what is it that you always hear me say? Join the movement, folks. Join the movement, which is rapidly growing here. Got listeners, again, overseas that listen to the podcast each and every week. I continue to thank you guys for your support of the podcast and even here in the Midwest as well. And a quick shout out again to the West Coast people that tuned in the podcast this past week. I thank you for your support as well. And again, like I always say, continue to spread the word about the EG3 show, folks, all about the world of NASCAR. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for the preview edition of the EG3 show, Texas style edition. Enjoy the races this weekend. Eddie Greer III saying so long for now. And the next time again that I'll be talking to you guys is the post-race reaction. We'll break down every move from the weekend, the Xfinity Series, and the Coastal O'Reilly Auto Parts 500. Who will win that race? on Sunday. Tune in to Fox to find out. Actually, maybe check that. I said earlier, an early mess up, my bad. So Fox has the Xfinity Series race, and FS1 has the Cup race on Sunday again. Folks, I hadn't lost it. There we go. The O'Reilly Auto Parts 500, 1 o'clock Central, 2 o'clock Eastern on FS1. Again, it's not Fox. FS1 Xfinity Series has the Fox race later on this afternoon. EG3 Eddie Greer saying thank you again for listening to the preview show edition of the podcast. EG3 shutting down the garage. We're rolling out of here. And thank you for listening to another edition of the podcast. And we'll talk to you next time on the EG3 Show podcast. We out. We'll be right back.